And I'm glad I came to Swan River. And I've met so many really good people. And you know what the common denominator is? We love Jesus. And that's really what it all comes down to. And people that are struggling in life, as they understand who Jesus is, and somebody is able to come alongside them and disciple them and teach them and train them and mentor them and love them, what happens? They don't want to go out to where the world is out there trying to take pieces away from them. I love the Word, and I love the Lord. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 116. I'm going to read the first six verses here. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice, and He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me, and I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called unto the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Say that. Lord, save me.
Lord, save me.
Yes. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. I love the Lord. You love the Lord. You love the Lord. We love the Lord. Isn't that awesome that we love the Lord? I love the Lord because He first loved me. Point number one, because He first loved me. And David is down here taking sermon notes. We should bring sermon notes, notebooks for the saints when we go out. I don't know, do you guys take sermon notes? It's awesome. It's awesome. Then you go back and say, what did he really say? Yes, it does. And it gives you an opportunity to go back and to read and to see again. Savannas. I want to talk to you a little bit about a young man named Savannas. Savannas was a 16-year-old young man that came into Teen Challenge. And he had been there for about 2 weeks. And he was very antisocial. He was a young black kid and in the gangs. And he had this afro hair. And he brought it together and he put little, looked like little black snowballs on top of his head. And antisocial, 16 years old. I'm going back a few years. And one day, the program director says, we got to kick this kid out because he's just not engaging. He doesn't want to be here. He's moody. He's grumpy. He's causing trouble. And it just doesn't fit. This isn't going to work. And I says, well, Ranchor, being another black man, I says, you know what, Rancher and I, we got some running around to do in town. Let me hang out with him for the day. And to get to know him, because he wouldn't talk to anybody. And he certainly wasn't going to talk to me because I'm the authority, you know, and he's anti-authority. Anyone here ever been anti-authority? Anyone here have a kid who's anti-authority? Is your mother? That's so awesome. That's so awesome. You're sitting beside your mother. Wow. So we're driving downtown, and Rancher's got to run into the bank, Scotia Bank, to get some money out for whatever, pay a bill or something. And so I'm parked and the police officer comes over, taps me on the window of the van, the Teen Challenge van, says, okay, he says, keep moving, move along, you can't park here. I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do? So I'm driving down halfway down the block, and we see these kids in this back alley, and these two kids are fighting. And this kid that I'm with, Savannas, he jumps out of the van, been at Teen Challenge for about 10 days, jumps out of the truck, runs down the back alley because one of his friends from the gang was in a fight. And I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. So I throw it in the park, run down the back alley. Rancher's coming out of the bank, and he sees me, so he comes running down. The cop sees, who had just told me to move, sees now that I parked, and the cops just kind of let things go away. No. He starts walking down. And here I am. I'm walking in. And these two kids are fighting, and they're talking about, you know, this 16-year-old. They're talking about their girlfriends. Oh, you talked to my girlfriend. You looked at my girlfriend the wrong way. But because there was these gang connections, the kid that is supposed to be with me, he's in there now with his friend on his friend's side. And as I get there, the one kid reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a knife. And I'm like this far away. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, prepare the gate because it's going to be opening up real soon. I don't know who it is that's going to go. Maybe it's me. I don't know, but I'm ready today, whatever happens. But as just as I get there, the police officer comes around into the back alley, and he says, "Hey, what's going on?" And I says to these two guys, I says, "First of all, buddy, you better put the knife down because there's a cop about 20 feet away from me." He puts the knife back into his pocket. And I grabbed the two of them, and I said, "We're going to pray." And I started praying for these two gang members that were having some sort of a beef. And I prayed, and the cop showed up, and he says, "What's going on here?" I says, "Well, these guys are just having a misunderstanding, officer. It's all under control. We're praying." And he says to me, he says, "Well," he says, "I'm a Christian." He says, "You're with Teen Challenge?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "All right." He says, "I don't want any trouble. You guys get out of here. Disperse." And they two went in different directions. Savannah's come back with me. And I said, "Savannah," I says, "What's the deal here? What's the deal here? What are you doing?" We went out for lunch, and I says, "How come things aren't going well for you at Teen Challenge?" I said, "Why are you even at Teen Challenge in the first place?" And he says, "Well, first of all," he says, "my mom and stepdad dropped me off. My stepdad doesn't want me around. And my mom says she's just tired of having me, and then she dropped me off here. And he says, "I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I got no place else to go." And I said, "Why don't you go with your dad? Go hang out, live at your dad's place." And he says, "My dad's in jail." And I says, "How long is he in jail for?" "Well," he says, "he's there for murder." And so dad ain't getting out. Mom doesn't want him, and the stepdad doesn't want him. He's 16 years old. He's got no place to go. And I said, "Savannah," I said, "what is it? What is it? Like, well, how come you're just not fitting in?" He says, "Brother Steve," he says, "I'm the only guy at Teen Challenge that doesn't have a Bible." Somehow, it got overlooked. He's there for 10 days and doesn't have a Bible. He doesn't feel that he fits in there. He doesn't fit in at home. His dad can't see him. He's got no friends. He's got no place. We went to the Christian bookstore, bought the kid a Bible. Yeah. 2 weeks later, Wednesday, we're going off to for chapel at a church, and Savannah comes out, and just as we're getting ready to go, the 16-year-old kid pulls a Bible out. He says, and I remember it so clearly, he says, "Reverence." Puts his hands up, "Reverence," and he had some scripture that he wanted to read to us. You couldn't peel that Bible out of that kid's hands, Savannah's. Savannah's found Jesus and knew that Jesus loved him. "I love the Lord because he first loved me." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? It's easy to love someone when you know that they love you. But the Lord loved us before I even knew that I needed his love. Scripture says, "But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Before I was even born, God knew that I was going to be a sinner. And he knew that if I didn't love him, and that if he didn't love me, and if he didn't care for me, if he didn't do something to help me, that I would die and I'd go to hell. God loved me too much to let that happen. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's good news, right? God loves me even before I knew I needed his love. But God, he doesn't force me to love him. In return for the love that he offered me, if I would let him love me, and if I would accept his love, he offered to adopt me as his own child. "But as many as received him," the word says, "to them he gave power to become the sons of God and daughters of God." I love the Lord. I praise him from my heart and my soul. I worship him because he first loved me. That was point number one. Point number two is this. I love the Lord because he heard my cries. He heard my cries. One Wednesday night, we all got into a van and went to a church service. And Teen Challenge, guys, we had about 20 guys there. And we were there, you know, I think service started at 6:30. We got there about 10 after 6, before the saints showed up. Wednesday night, you know, 6:30-ish is kind of what it means, I guess. We're all so planned and organized and have so many people we have to move. And we all got into the van. We all got to the church. And the guys know when they come in, they sit in the front row, second row, third row. They're all in one spot. So they're all over on one side. Then the saints start coming in from the church. They're over all on the other side. It's kind of like going to Hutterite Colony. You know, I don't know if you've ever been there for a church service. All the women are on one side. All the guys are on the other side. Well, it was all the Teen Challenge guys. We were all on the other side. And it was awesome. We had great worship, shared the word, took up offering, and we're getting ready to go home. And in the back was a guy named Larry, and his grandmother had drugged him to church. And I say drugged him to church because that was one of his, that the only drug problem that he had was his grandmother drugged him to church. And Larry put his hand up and he says, "Pastor, Pastor," in the back. He says, "Just a minute." He says, isn't there, didn't you forget something?" And I'm thinking, we did the worship. We took up the offering. Oh, I said, "What?" He says, "Well, what about the part where I can give my life to Jesus?" Wow. Well, yeah, I forgot about that part. And I says, "You're right, Larry." And I didn't know his name. I says, "You're right, Larry. We forgot that part." I says, "Let's pray." Larry came to the altar. I had about 10 teen challenge guys come around Larry. We started praying for him. You know what we did that night? He's crying out to the Lord. I love the Lord because he hears our cries, right? He hears our cries. We put Larry in the bus. We took him back to teen challenge that night. Larry been home watching video games, watching TV, all like secluded and doesn't want to, but his grandmother kept telling him about Jesus and Jesus, and he heard all this, and he just didn't know what he, and he felt like such a loser. He felt like such a recluse. He felt like just there was no place for him, no place for him, and he just wanted to cry out to the Lord. Have you ever been to that place where you just want to cry out and you say, "God, help me"? Have you ever been to that place? Just put your hand up if you've ever been there. Yeah, yes. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One other quick story. David Fox is a young man that was a drug dealer in Transcona. David came into Teen Challenge. And his parents were people of affluence. They had a lot of money. They worked in the big tower down at Portage of Maine, one of the big towers down at Portage of Maine. And they couldn't believe, Dad couldn't believe, that the kid comes to Teen Challenge and he gets saved and becomes a Christian. They went to a church called the High Anglican Church in Winnipeg. I don't know if you have a High Anglican Church here. Well, they see this kid's life just turns right around. You know what happens? All of a sudden he starts speaking in tongues. There's this 18-year-old drug dealer starts speaking in tongues, and he's all he wants to do. And then the dad starts hanging out at Teen Challenge too, volunteering, hanging out. And his dad goes to Alpha, and his dad realizes it isn't about the High Anglican Church. It's about the high priest. It's about Jesus. That's who it's about. And then he got a personal relationship. And then the whole family, the grandmother gets saved, the wife gets saved, and they all come to the Lord. And then they're getting ready to graduate. Dad says to me, he says, "Brother Steve," "my son wants to go to Bible college." He says, "I'm so proud of my, I want him to go to Bible college." He says, "Brother Steve, if you go to any Bible college, where would you go?" And I'm thinking, well, I mean, if I had the money, I don't know about you, Pastor, but I says, "There's a school in Oklahoma I'd like to go to. And if I had the choice." And he said, "Well, listen." He said, "I'll tell you what, would you take David down there to Tulsa?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll do that." Yeah. Well, we went down there. And in the morning, it was like what they called Discovery Day. Or Discovery Week or whatever. And you kind of get to know the church. So here we are at the church. And the teacher comes in. The pastor's name is Billy Joel. And Billy Joel is teaching on healing. And I'm thinking, well, David, we're going to go to this. And we're listening to this pastor's Sunday morning's teaching about healing. And it was just awesome word. And then he says, "By the way," he says, "tonight at our church across the street, down the street, we've got a healing service. Come for the healing." So he's talking to the school kids, and he says, "Come to the healing service tonight." So we're there, and David, we're from Winnipeg. You know, we're looking for signs and wonders, you know. So people coming up and people praying, the pastor comes over, no big deal. He did some more teaching, prayed. It wasn't a big deal. At the end of it, almost at the end of it, grandmother comes up. She talks to pastor's wife and says, my grandson been in a wheelchair for 4 years. He's 11 years old. Been in a wheelchair since he was 7. And I'm not sure if it was muscular dystrophy or what it was, but his hands were, you know, like all the muscles were cramped in real tight. And he's just a little kid. Like, he doesn't weigh very much. He's all like this here. And I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be good. You ever have those thoughts? Hey, this is going to be good. All right, let's see what happens here. But I was in a place where it was just like, you know, I didn't have any of the distractions. I didn't have any of the responsibilities of, you know, what the flow is. I could just sit back and receive. And a couple of the ushers come, bring the wheelchair up. A grandmother comes up, praying grandmother, eh? The cries of a grandmother. The cries of a mother. The prayers of a mother. The prayers of an aunt. That's how you got in there so fast. It was your Aunt Edith out in Ear Falls. That's how that happened, just in case you want to know. If you didn't know that, girl, that's how it happened. Yeah. Pastor comes over, starts praying, puts his hand on. Grandmother and the mother of this child lift this boy up, and I could physically see his arms begin to relax and his legs straighten, and he starts walking across the stage. Hadn't walked for 4 years. David Fox sitting beside me, little drug dealer from Transcona, going, Brother Steve. He graduated from the school, went to New York City, worked with Don Wilkerson. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because God hears our cries. The cries of the mother. The cries of Larry sitting in the back row saying, I need to get saved. Psalm 116, verses 3 and 4 says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me, and I was overcome by my troubles and my sorrow. Then I called unto the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Often people, they say it's easier to bear your troubles if you can share them with someone. Often people come to me and they say, I just need someone to talk to. But often you can't find someone who's really interested in your problems. And certainly you can't find people that can really do a whole lot about what your problems and situations are. But God not only listens to what my problems are, but he can actually do something about them. If you're seeking a cure for your sin-filled life, the waters of baptism won't wash you clean enough to enter into the gates of glory. Church membership will make you feel good for a while, but it won't remove the sin stains in your heart. Religious rituals and adherence to man-made rules, they won't transform you from what you are to what you should be. You must go to the only one who can actually do something about your condition and cry out and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. All the other things are good for your foundation, but it isn't the church. It's the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you know that you're a sinner, but you feel no one can help you. Well-meaning friends, their good intentions, they're just not enough to lift up the terrible burden of the sin that weighs you down. Guess what? You're not the first person to experience that. Psalm 142, David sitting in a cave. I shared this, I think here Friday night, this scripture. Psalm 142, verses 1 to 4. David cries out, he says, I cry to the Lord, I lift my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him, and before him I tell my trouble. Then my spirit grows faint within me. It is you who knows my way, Lord. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. I look to the right and see that no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, and no one cares for my soul. No one cares for my soul. Well, that's not true. God cares for your soul. He cares so much that he sent Jesus for your soul. Amen? And God not only cares for my soul, but he listens to my troubles. He also has an interest in the sickness that there is in my soul, and he has the means and the ability to actually do something. Since I was born in sin, the word says that I must be born again. I was born in sin, and I've got to be born again. He took away my sin through his grace and through the blood of his own precious son, Jesus, and I placed my faith in him. And the word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my sin was taken away. I love the Lord because he hears my cries. And now we sing a new song. You know, we talked about when we were in the parking lot on our way over here, we said, We'll know if this is the place we're supposed to be based on what the worship is. You remember that? And we know that Terry says, this is where you're going. And we prayed that God, and you know what? The songs that you were singing were the songs that we were talking about on our way over here. And that's why we started dancing, and we were like, hallelujah, we're in the right place. We're in the place where God wants us to be today. And he's taken away our sin. And he's taken away our failures and our shortcomings. And he loves us. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 6, I love you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're my strength. The Lord is the rock, the fortress, my deliverer. Oh, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death, they entangled me. The torrents of destruction, they overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave, they toiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, my cry, and he came before me. And it came before me into his ears. My cry came before him. He hears our cries. He hears the cries of the grandmother. He hears the cries of the parents. He hears the cries of those that are sitting in the back of the church saying, I want Jesus. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he first loved me. I love the Lord because he heard my cries. And I love the Lord because he's my strength. Point number three. Leonard and I were walking down the street. And coming the other way was a gang member, drug dealer named Gray Boy. That was a street name. And Gray Boy comes up to us and he looks at Leonard and he says, oh man, he says, where have you been? Leonard was the guy that would, and every Friday they would go over to Gray Boy's house, and Gray Boy would sit in his porch, and you'd come and you'd give him the money from the drugs from last week, and you'd take the drugs to go sell them for next week, and you bring them back. And Leonard was one of his drug dealers. And this guy was the supplier, Gray Boy. And he says, where you been? He says, I'm at Teen Challenge. When he got out of jail, he was able to come to Teen Challenge. He says, I'm at Teen Challenge. He says, I'm a Christian. I'm not selling drugs no more. He says, and they're looking at me, and this guy's looking at me, and he says, who's this guy here? And he says, he's my pastor. Oh, and he says, so you're like the bishop? Drug dealer guy calls me the bishop. And I says, yeah, I'm kind of like the bishop. I guess you could call me the bishop. Yeah, he says, this guy, it happened to be his birthday that week. And he says, I'm a grandfather. 40 years old. I'm a grandfather. I said, wow. Yeah, one day I'm going to be a Christian. I said, I doubt it. And the guy looked at me like, no, you don't talk to this guy like this. And even this guy that was with me, Leonard that was with me, he's a pretty big guy. And Leonard's like, he's going to me like, I says, what do you mean you doubt it? I says, you know what? I hear it all the time. People say, one day I'm going to be a Christian. One day. I says, you know what? Living the lifestyle you're living, the chances are good you're going to be dead. The chances are good, not only are you going to be dead, but your kids are going to grow up, and they're going to be selling drugs, and they're going to be running from the law. And not only that, but good for you, you got a grandkid with you. What kind of chance do you think your grandkids got? What kind of grandfather do you think you're going to be? No, I'm really going to be there. I'm really going to be a Christian one day. I said, well, what's wrong with today? Are you sick and tired of doing what you're doing? You know what he said to me? So how do I do that? And I said, well, you got to pray. He said, I don't know how to pray. Would you help me? He says, would you help me? I said, yeah. Here, this guy gets down on his knees on the sidewalk, on the ice, this drug dealer, and Leonard and me take him to the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's our strength, right? He's our strength. I love the Lord because he's my strength. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 6 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins, and he heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with the love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. Wow, he satisfies my desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And the Lord works. I was going like this during worship this morning. Isn't that awesome? You guys were just, God is just bringing the whole thing in tune today. I was going like this. I could feel the wind coming through my wings this morning during worship. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. If you're oppressed here today, I got good news for you. The Lord wants to work on your behalf for you. Hallelujah. He wants to bring justice. You know what, friends? I can't be strong all the time. I'm made of flesh. I struggle. I have to get up every morning. And I have to pray for strength. That's the truth. I've been a Christian a while. Pastor, I shared that with you a while. I've been around a while. But every morning I get up and I read the scripture and I say, God, give me strength today. And I don't know if you guys know about this Daniel diet. Anyone here know about it, been on it? It's not about eating, you know, Daniel standing around the barbecue and eating that stuff. My son says, oh, yeah, didn't they have like a fire? We can like barbecue ribs and stuff. No. Part of it, yeah, there's food, there's fellowship, friendship, fitness, and faith. And it's just so much like Teen Challenge. Every morning you get up. Every morning you get to spend time in devotions. Personal devotions, group devotions. Every morning you say, God, give me strength today to make good choices and good decisions. Amen? You can't be strong all the time in your own strength. You got to rely on Him, right? He's my strength. Oh, Pastor. Pastor's fault. The roast of the chicken might be a little bit overdone, but that's okay. I know this. When I come into a church, pastor says, do this, you do this. That's the way it is. Danny was working for a crew called the Zigzag Crew in Winnipeg. And basically what his job was to go collect debts. And I've got pictures on my laptop of what Daniel looked like when he got arrested and was in jail one of the times. And he's sitting in jail and he meets a guy, his cellmate, this guy's name is Jason. Jason, he was there for 17 armed robberies. And he was 27 armed robberies. And he was looking at the crown, wanted 17 years in jail. And Jason was just out of control and Daniel's life was out of control. And somehow, a miracle, Jason gets bail and comes into Teen Challenge. And while he's there at Teen Challenge, he just totally soaks it all up. And I remember him telling me in tears, Jason saying to me, he said, Brother Steve, I want everything that you've got. I want everything. I want all of it. I want to know it. I want it all. This guy was a crackhead that would just go to 7-Eleven just to steal $40 to go buy another a bag of crack to go smoke and get high, and tomorrow he'd do the same thing. And just when his life was out of control, Daniel and Jason got to know each other inside, and no one thought that Jason would get bail. He got bail. He comes in a Teen Challenge. He completes the program, and we go talk to the judge, and we worked out. He did 9 months at Milner Ridge, but then he comes back and he's working at Teen Challenge. 3 years goes by, and Jason's off at Springs. Wednesday night, he's out there, worship service. He goes to Tim Hortons. Well, the one Tim Hortons he went to was too busy. And being Christians, you know, you got to go have your coffee. So he goes on a Wednesday night, and he's there. And I'm glad you guys are listening. You know, I put those little things out there just to see if people are listening. And so here he is in Tim Hortons, and who walks in but Daniel? And Daniel was his old cellmate from 3 years ago. And Daniel sees Jason, and the two of them hug. And Daniel's like, his life is out of control. And Daniel, as the story goes, he went to say goodbye to his mother who lives in St. Boniface. And, you know, these guys with these red and white motorcycles are pretty serious people when it comes to when they lose their money or they lose their drugs. And there was about $40,000 that had gone missing. And not that it was on Daniel's watch so much, but they said to Daniel, you owe us some money for some drugs. You do this for us and we'll just make that debt go away. And he goes to his mother. He says, I got an airplane ticket and I'm going to Vancouver and you may never see me again because it might be a setup. You never know when you get there. Because what Daniel got was a picture, Polaroid picture of a guy and a phone number. and an airplane ticket. And when he got to Vancouver, he phones that number. And as he phones that number, a guy will show up. He'll give you a gun. He'll give you an address. He'll give you another picture. And you go find that guy, and you kill him. That's your job. And your drug debt's clearing. Jason says to Daniel, don't do it. And his mother's there. His mother's crying, thinks that her son is going, she may never see him again, and knew that his life was out of control. He says, go to Teen Challenge, Daniel. 3 days later, Daniel came into Teen Challenge and received the Lord as a Savior. Yeah. Yeah, he never went to do it. And there's a longer story to that whole thing, but after Daniel, and this was, I'm going back 8 or 9 years, he wrote a letter to the people that he owed some drug debt to, said he's not going to do it, but that he's a Christian, and this is where he's living. He's living at Teen Challenge on Edmonton Street, gave me the address. And you know what happened? About 3 months afterwards, about 8 of those guys got arrested. Yeah, just the way the Lord kind of took after the whole thing, and just the whole thing. And who knows, this guy could have been dead. He went through Teen Challenge. He graduated. He went through our Emerging Leaders Program. He's a staff member. He's a department head. And after I discipled him for about 4 years, he asked if he could take my youngest daughter out. And I'll tell you what happened. My son had just come. You asked for the story, Pastor. My son had just come back from Bible college in Saskatchewan at Church of God, whatever that's called down there. And he was living in the house, and Daniel had just graduated the program, and he was living with my son. And my daughter, they would go over there, they'd go to church, they'd go to all these different church meetings, and they'd come back to the bonfires, and my daughter started hanging around. And then Daniel says to me, he says, Brother Steve, do you mind? This is 4 years after this whole thing went down. He says, do you mind? Would have your permission to take your daughter out for see a movie? Well, I'm not big on movies anyways, but you can't really stop these people. These young people get stuff in their mind, Pastor, and what do? You can pray. And you know what happened? After about 2 years, he says, Brother Steve, and I knew this was coming, he says, can I marry your daughter, Katie? And I said, yeah, he's my son-in-law. And after a couple years, they had a little girl named Bella. And then they had a little boy, and they called him Stephen. And in the birth announcement, it said, in honor of respect of his grandfather, Stephen. Pretty cool, eh? They blessed me. They blessed me. You know, friends, it's only about Jesus. Everything is, it's all about Jesus. I'm not sitting here saying Jesus only, Jesus only, Jesus. Holy Spirit is going to come and do his thing. Father shares the love. He gives us the word. But you know what? We have a role to play. And the question is, what do we do? How can I show my love for God? Psalm 116, starting in verse 12. It says, how can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? I'll lift up the cup of salvation. I'll choose salvation. I'll call unto the name of the Lord. And I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all the people. I'll proclaim Jesus in the presence of all the people. I love the Lord because he first loved me. I love the Lord because he heard my cries. And I love the Lord because he's my strength. And he wants to be your strength. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your spirit that's so alive and active. We thank you for Jesus who came and shed his blood for us. And we love you, Lord, so much. We thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your obedience to go to the cross. And Lord, I just pray right now for the saints here in Swan River in this assembly. Pray, God, for each family that's represented. I pray, God, that the love of Jesus would manifest in the hearts and in the lives of those that are perplexed, that those that are feeling weak, Those that need to be loved today, perhaps for the first time. Those that are crying out inside their heart. If that's you this morning and you're saying, I need prayer, I've got two fine young people that will be happy to pray for you, and I'm sure there's probably a prayer team here in this church. And we're going to be singing a song in a minute. I'm going to be praying to close. But if you're in a place this morning where you need prayer, I encourage you to come up to this front, to this altar. I'm going to open it up. We're going to spend some time. We're going to tarry here at this front for a while. I love the Lord today, friends, because He loves us. He loves us before we even knew that we needed His love. And if that's you today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, this altar is going to be open as we stand in a minute. And I encourage you to come to this front and to meet Jesus and to make a commitment as you receive His promises for your life. He hears your cries. And He can make you strong to get through it. Bless you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's stand together.